In the name of God, the Creator, God, the Redeemer, and God, the Holy Spirit. The Gospel of Mark clips along at quite a frantic pace, as Deacon Susan noted for us last Sunday. It is comprised of just 16 chapters, compared with 21 chapters in the Gospel of John, 24 chapters in the Gospel of Luke, and a colossal 28 chapters in the Gospel of Matthew. And the word immediately appears 47 times in the text. It is interesting to note that in chapter 6, from which our lectionary text derives today, an amazing array of things happen, including the rejection of Jesus at Nazareth, the sending of the 12 out on their first mission, two by two, the beheading of John the Baptist, which we read about last week, the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus walking on water, and finally, the healing of the sick in Gennesaret. So, with all of that great stuff happening in this chapter of Mark's Gospel, I began to wonder why the church elects to extract only verses 30 to 34 and 53 to 56 for us to consider today. And my answer is that we are being called to sharpen our focus on the fact that we all live in a gap between who we are and who God has created us to be. And Jesus, our compassionate and good shepherd, helps us to bridge that gap by making us lie down in green pastures and leading us by still waters. God in Christ revives our souls and guides us along right paths. Surely God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. Here, it seems logical to consider the invitation Jesus gives his disciples and us today when he says, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." You see, I believe that this is Jesus working out of his experience of his own human nature, in which he, like all of us, is bound by time and space. His humanity allows him to understand our need for rest, our need for Sabbath. It is the only thing that helps us to narrow that gap between who we are and who God has created us to be. Because God has spoken to us in a unique and decisive way through the incarnation of Jesus, our friend and brother, we know that God stands with us in this gap. In the incarnation, God's otherness is obliterated. God becomes one of us. Jesus shares in our humanity in order that we can share in his divinity. And in that very space between who we are and who we are created to be, God is with us, always calling us toward wholeness and holiness. In the book, The Agile Church, Dwight Gile ponders this depth of God's love for us and writes that throughout Christian history, people have been tempted to reduce this rich classical conception of God in various ways. The idea that God would take on flesh and move into the neighborhood and go so far as to suffer and die with humanity was even in Paul's day a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. The early church battled heresies that saw Jesus as subordinate to the Father or less than fully divine. There's something strange about God getting so mixed up in human life. It can seem easier to bracket God out from the world. Then we can go on our own to create our own destiny, control things, write our own stories, and realize our own fates. And again, this is where I hear Jesus speaking to us this morning regarding rest an irony for Sabbath when he says, come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. Earlier in Mark's gospel, Jesus chastises the Pharisees for their judgmental approach to him and his disciples. He exposes them for trying to create their own destiny, control things, write their own stories, and realize their own fates with no regard for or reliance on God. Throughout the Hebrew scriptures and in the traditions of Judaism during this time, the rabbis by and large took what was supposed to be a day all about the worship of God along with holy rest and recreation and turned it into a legalistic nightmare. In Exodus 32:5, we read, for 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day you shall have a holy Sabbath of solemn rest unto the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. The focus had shifted away from God and all of the good that God had done in creation to more of a focus on what people were or were not allowed to do. Complex rules were developed over time that regulated things such as the lighting of fires, precisely what counted as work and did not, the mandate that all food to be eaten during the Sabbath had to be prepared in advance, and even the distance that people could walk on the Sabbath. So in Mark chapter 2, Jesus notes that what had been a law given for the good of God's people had by now become a burden to them. And to this he speaks the truth that the Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. Now, what I believe Jesus means by this is pretty simple. The fact of the matter is that people do not make the Sabbath holy, but rather the Sabbath makes people holy. Keeping Sabbath is much less about what we are doing for God and much more about what God has done for us as well as what God is continuing to do with us. Here I am reminded that grace is God's favor to us, unearned and undeserved. Grace is given to us in order that we might become a blessing to one another and the wider world. As we ponder the fact that God freely bestows grace on all of humanity, crossing the divides of gender, race, age, and ability, then we are called to this same level of radical generosity. Grace does not bestow privilege, but rather, grace calls us to be responsible to the promises we made in the baptismal covenant and to live as Christ's body in the world. Just as God stands with us in that gap between who we are and who we are created to be, we too must stand with one another in those gaps. Stand there with love, stand there with forgiveness, and stand there with compassion. By grace, God calls us to participate in the work of salvation and the healing of the world. Lynn Babb, in her book, Keeping Sabbath, writes, for Jesus, the Sabbath was a day to do good, show mercy, save life, free people from bondage. These acts, appropriate for the Sabbath, spoke of God's nature. A merciful God, the God who heals, the God who delivers people from evil. We are called as followers of Jesus to be engaged in lives of service and invited through our baptismal promises to share in Jesus' ministry of preaching and healing. And at the same time, we are called to rest and refreshment. This is a both and rather than an either or. We bridge that gap between who we are and who God created us to be when we balance the active and contemplative aspects of our Christian lives, such that how we pray reveals what we believe, and what we believe informs how we choose to live. We have been created to be a blessing to this world, which God made and loves beyond measure. God is never finished working with us, just as we are never finished with moving toward becoming our best selves through our union with the divine mystery. That union, though seemingly elusive, is already accomplished by means of the incarnation. To sum up, let me share this story about God and us from another tradition. How does a person seek union with God? The seeker asked. The harder you seek, the teacher said, the more distance you create between God and you. So what does one do about the distance? Understand that it isn't there, the teacher said. Does that mean that God and I are one, the seeker said? Not one, not two. How is that possible, the seeker asked. The sun and its light, the ocean and the wave, the singer and the song, not one, not two. Amen.